Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. We're really glad you're with us here today. And when I say us, do you think I'm talking about me and my alter ego or something like that? No, I'm talking about Chris Williams and Dr. Sherry Keffer. And we're glad you're with us. Hi, guys.
Hey. Great to be with you both today, as always.
As always. I love being with you guys. And, you know, we love getting to do this program. And there's only one reason that we get to do it. And that is the support of people like you. And if you've never given, hey, give it a try. If it doesn't help your life giving, we will refund your misery. But here's what we're here to talk about, and that's anything you want to talk about. And we're going to start right off with Tom from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, listens to WFIL. Hi there. How you doing?
Hey, Steve, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How could we help you today?
I am well, too. I'm calling for a friend, actually.
Okay.
I'm in my mid-60s. He's in his mid-30s. And about a year ago, he was raped.
Oh, my goodness. Man. How did that happen? And, where was he?
I didn't really ask him for particulars. Okay. I don't think the police were involved. It actually happened in a predominantly gay community near Philly.
Okay.
But I just want to know how I can help this guy.
Well, how's he doing since that happened? What's going on with him?
How's he doing? He's very depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very angry, particularly at the guy who did it.
What did you say there? What did you say?
I'm sorry. I was yelling at my dog.
Oh, okay. Well, we do that sometimes. Yeah, so he's very depressed.
He's very depressed, and he's angry, and he's taking his anger out and putting himself in Fight Club situations. I don't know if you know what Fight Club is.
Yeah,
but
I do.
Fighting for money.
So you want to help him.
Yes.
Has he asked you for help?
Yes, he has.
Okay. Well, Chris, let's start with you. What do you think? I mean, how could anything help him?
Well, without a doubt. I mean, he is experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder, and it is really, really difficult in these situations. When there's a gender gap, or when we think of rape, we typically think of a woman being raped. And the gender gap is that now we think of a male being raped. There actually is an extra layer of shame to push through. The similar thing happens in sexual addiction. When a female is sexually addicted, there's an extra layer of shame she has to work through because we have gender stereotype these situations. And so his need for trauma recovery is absolutely necessary because he is trying to gain control over his trauma in these fight clubs. In that which he was out of control, now he's trying to be in control. But his life is going to continue to spin out of control until he gets help. In fact, similar situations will most likely occur, and it may not be rape, but it may be other forms of abuse that this guy will experience. So getting into trauma care with a trauma therapist is absolutely essential here.
Okay. And so when we come back, let's talk about the issue of He's in fight clubs. He was in a gay part of town. Let's talk about that when we come back. You're listening to New Life Live, and if you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. You know, when, and Tom, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
So, he goes to a part of town. It's primarily gay folks there, and now he's doing Fight Club. He's setting himself up to be hurt. He's involved in high risk behaviors in high risk environments. And you know, the greatest favor we can do for someone like that is to help them see, hey, this isn't just an accident that you're doing these things, that you need this in your life, and I'll do anything I can to help you so that the worst thing that ever happens to you is that you were raped that one time versus if you stay on this path in these kind of situations, what could happen over and over again? Chris, what do you think here? What could he do to help his buddy?
I think continuing to speak to your friend's depression and his anger and his fears. And if you can get to it, the shame that he's carrying inside of him. There may be other behaviors going on here. There could be possible drug use and abuse going on here. I've seen that very, very common in these occurrences. So he may have a list of problems. However, it would encourage him to listen to this show. And I would encourage him to know that his problems are real and they're valid, but there's also solution for it as well. He needs to know that there's hope, that he doesn't have to live this way.
Curious if he's ever going to church with you. Is he ever getting involved with some positive spiritual growth stuff?
Well, when I first met him, afterwards actually, he sounded very anti-church because he blamed it on the people there, not necessarily the Bible, but. You know, it's like Gandhi said, I love your Christ, I just don't like your Christians. Mm-hmm. And, how Christians can be, Steve.
So is he gay? Is that what he's dealing with?
No, he's not. In fact, he was born and raised in Midwest, and I think he's pretty naive as to what goes on in society today, especially like in drug use and the other kind of things. I'm pretty sure that he just needed a place to live, and he ended up there. And how he got into this situation where this person overpowered him, I have no idea. I didn't want to ask for particulars. I just wanted to grieve with him.
Okay.
So did he know the guy that did it, Tom? You mentioned that he's mad at the guy that did it. Does he know that person?
Yeah, he knew him. I'm assuming that he probably rented a room with the guy or in the guy's house or something of that nature.
So think about that. Think about the level of betrayal that he's experienced. I work with rape victims, and you know, when it comes to rape, it's never the person's fault. There's no reason that they would ever have to own being raped, sexually seduced or raped by somebody else.
Right.
Even if he and this guy had a few drinks, that still doesn't make it okay to be raped. So I don't know what the preemptive situation was. But I want to encourage you in a couple things. So when I'm working with a rape victim, I often use something called EMDR. It stands for eye movement desensitization reprocessing. Chris mentioned PTSD. It's used for PTSD, but oftentimes the negative belief is this: I'm powerless. I'm helpless. I am weak. That's what gets wired in at the crime scene. And so can you see why Chris mentioned earlier, the Fight Club is a way that he's trying to get his power back, but it's not helping his heart heal. So I would look to see who y'all have in your area that does that. Amendria.org is the site. But let me tell you what I think you can do as a friend. Oftentimes when something like this happens, and you've mentioned it twice, you said, I didn't ask for the particulars. And you know something? That is a normal gut reaction that most of us kind of move away from wanting that person to tell the story. We think if we ask them the particulars, if we explore their heart more, that somehow we're going to make it worse. But actually, often we don't make it worse. He already has shame about what happened.
Uh-huh.
And so sometimes being that listener, that supportive listener that can just say, hey, I don't know if you've told anybody what happened, but man, I am your friend and I would just love to hear what happened, mm-hmm. how it went down. And then don't judge. Don't judge him. If you have feelings that come up, you might even, sometimes when I'm hearing a rape story, I will tell them, I am so angry.
Yeah.
I am so angry at what that person did. And that feels good to them. But don't judge or try to put that person in a situation where they are made to feel responsible for what happened. That's actually kind of betrayal on betrayal. Just get him into some help, but be that person that isn't afraid to listen to the details.
Yeah.
Well,
all right.
The reason why I've been sort of trained not to ask for details because I'm part of a prison ministry, and I come in contact with a number of prisoners, and we're told, do not ask them why they're there, what they did to get there. You know,
yeah, but
all
this
that.
Is this so is different.
Automatically,
totally.
Yeah. Yeah, I know this is.
Yeah, this is different, and I think you can move beyond that construct there. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you this book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder. I think it's going to help you connect with him. Anybody else, you can get that book at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And it's part of the Arterburn Wellness Series, 8 books, and that is our way of saying thank you when anybody joins Club New Life. All right, let's go back, and let's go to Carrie from Boise, Idaho. Great place to live. Hi, Carrie. Welcome to New Life. How you doing? Carrie from Boise, are you there? Maybe not. Well, okay. We'll come back to see how that's going to go. Let's go to Lynn, Houston, Texas. Lynn listens online.
Hello.
Hi there. Hi. How can we help today? Hi.
Well, my question is, what's my first step? And the situation is that my husband and I, we're in ministry. Our children work with us. We have 2 children and their spouses and 6 grandchildren. And 3 years ago, he told me, he confronted me and said that he saw a video online of me with someone. And I mean, it just came out of nowhere. It's just, and it absolutely is not the truth. And yet he screamed and yelled at me and cussed me and all kinds of things. And I looked at it for about a half a minute, not even that. It wasn't me. If it, I mean, all I know is that it's a fake, but he just laughs at me when I say that. And that was 3 years ago, and now I put up with it for 3 years just because my family and our ministry. And I just can't do it anymore. There's so much at stake.
Yeah.
So much at stake. And it encouraged me, the counsel that you gave, the wife whose husband is cheating on her, that I have to do something different.
Yeah.
I believed God. I'm fasting right now, praying. God gives me strength. And, you know,
why do you think that he thinks it's you and won't listen? And is there anything?
He says it's my hair. He says, it's hard to refute. It's hard to say. I can't explain it because he says that the person has the markings on my body that are distinct to me. He even told me that he saw my wedding ring. You know, I didn't look at it long enough to. It makes me sick.
Okay, my heart is pounding so much in my chest right now, Lynn. Can I just start off? I'm sorry, Steve, I just can't hear this.
Go ahead,
this
please.
Is hurting.
Yeah.
So
it's horrible.
Oh, it is horrible.
And now he says that I'm letting a man in our home at night while he's asleep. He's a neighbor person that I've never even met in my life.
Okay, so Lynn,
that's good information to know. Okay,
hey,
we're going to help you.
Lynn, I want you to hear me. I'm going to tell you about a word that I think is going on in your home right now, and it's a term. It's called gaslighting. Gaslighting is a term that's used when somebody lies and they make up a lie and then actually manipulate the truth, manipulate the lie in order to make it about you. So they're trying to cover up some sexual behavior that they're doing. I think your husband is sexually acting out. I think he's caught up in pornography and who knows what else. But in order to cover his tracks, in order to create confusion for you, in order to do exactly what you are manifesting in front of us right now, to have you question your reality, to have you question your gut, to have you feel crazy, he makes it about you. And then he gets to continue in his bad behavior. It comes out of a film that was done in 1944 where I had the very similar reaction when I watched that show with Ingrid Bergman. It's called Gaslamp, where I had to turn the show off. And I'm having that same feeling with you because it's crazy making. It's not. You're saying I didn't do it, right? You're saying I don't do porn. I don't have men come into my house. But my husband is creating the systematic lies to make me feel crazy.
Now, let me ask you this, Sherry. Why would you go there versus he has some kind of mental disorder, paranoid, schizophrenic, whatever, why there?
Great question, Steve. Why? Because it is so specific and it's so sexual.
That's exactly right.
It's specific and lies. They'll put lots of details in. When a liar is lying, look at how sophisticated his lie is, talking about body markings and hair.
Yeah.
And it's all that stuff that makes the lie seem more real, but it's actually evidence of falsehood.
And people who suffer with schizophrenia don't stick with the same story either. Their reality is very lucid. It's changing all the time.
Totally. But great question, Steve.
Yeah.
Great question.
All right. So what should she do?
So first thing you need to do, Lynn, is you need to get into a safe place where you can own your reality. So that means you need a counselor that can sit with you as you're bringing this stuff forward. And just like you're going to hear with the three of us, right? Just like you felt with me, I didn't join into the crazy. I didn't join in. I pushed back. I gave a name for what was happening. And so you need to get support. I also would suggest you think about possibly even getting into a women's support group.
Yes.
Where you can have other women who, you know, won't have this exact situation, but will have other situations that may feel similar. And again, it's another way that you can hold on to your reality. I have a chapter in my book called Gaslighting, Deception, and Blame. Oh, my. And I wrote that because these kind of stories are heartbreaking, and it's actually a form of psychological abuse. And I don't want you to be abused anymore. I don't think he's safe. And I think, I know your heart for ministry.
He's dangerous.
He is.
Very dangerous.
I mean, this is harmful. Yeah. And it's a big cover-up. So you're going to need to be supported. Honey, don't do this alone. Don't try to fight this all on your own, but you're going to need to push back. And sometimes when I'm working with a woman, she'll say something like this crazy story, like you just said, and I would look at your husband and say, you know what? I've never done that. I would never do that. And I don't see that situation as you see it. And it's wrong. Mm-hmm. You're entitled to your reality.
All right. We'll be back right after this.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against. And families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, just hearing you guys talk about this at the break, I don't think we can move on just yet. But Sherry,
we're having our own group therapy.
Kinda,
oh, my goodness.
You kind of lit up over that.
Yeah, it's just...
And so, Chris, you were talking about the level of narcissism that is reflected here. Talk about that for a second.
What I saw in Lynn's phone call and the dangerous situation that she's in is that, you know, the first question is, how did he find porn that he thought his wife was in? Well, he had been looking at porn, right?
Sure.
But he has, it sounds to me like he has a severe problem with sexual acting out. Mm-hmm. Then he puts it on his wife. It's called projection. Puts it on his wife, on somebody else, to protect himself and gaslight it so the attention is off of him, and then becomes abusive towards her through the projection. That is a different level of narcissism right there. That is incredibly dangerous.
Yeah. So you think she is in danger and that what should she do? I mean, what can she do?
I actually, I mean, that level of sophisticated lying and projection, and it feels a bit sociopathic. I rarely even say that. You guys have probably heard me for years, and I've never used that. But it's that mean. It's that hurtful. It's that abusive. I think she's going to need some separation here to sort out what she needs to do.
She's got to physically get out of this situation. Also, but to this get is a clear mind about
get
it, too.
Get clear-minded. Sometimes it takes women or men that have been gaslit. It actually takes them some weeks and months to get their head clear. They come in and they feel confused and foggy to me. Almost like if you left your stove on and there was gas in the air, you know, that you were getting intoxicated by and you could die. It's just toxic to the soul. But you know, this is the dilemma. She's got all this ministry stuff. And so a lot of times people will stay in situations like this in order to keep up the front of ministry. I know I did that. I didn't want to collapse that. And I tolerated stuff for too long. But the level of stuff just makes me scared for her.
Well, here's the reality. No matter what the source of the problem, he has one. This thing of men are sneaking in the night to sleep with her and all sorts of stuff. Whatever the source, he has a problem. And so I think this might be a situation where she has to go to the church leadership and say, I need your help here.
Yeah.
Great
idea, listen to
Steve.
Me.
I like that.
Great idea,
Steve.
If he
won't just volunteer to get the help that he needs, then you have to go to the next level, and that's where you hope a church will step in and do the right thing. And so we'll pray for her. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to send her understanding and loving a person with sexual addiction. I think it's there. I think it's severe. He's also got some other problems to go along with it.
I get it. And can I also have her get a copy of my book, which is Intimate Deception, which I think is happening, and Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal. I want her to read that chapter on gaslighting, deception, and blame.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to send that and hope that something in there, something we've said here. But, you know, if you'll listen to the program several times, you'll kind of hear a theme here. And the theme is, if somebody is in trouble, you may have to do some very uncomfortable things before they get out of their denial or their defensiveness, where they might take a second look at something. And in this case, I mean, this is pretty bizarre. You're married to someone who has gone out and done a video, you think, and now this person has people coming in the middle of the night while you're sleeping and sleeping with her. It's just crazy. I mean, why would you have them come into the house? And it makes no sense.
Yeah.
So that's where sometimes doing the tough thing is the greatest gift in the world that you could give that person to encourage them, don't live like this anymore. All right, if you need some help, if you're struggling, maybe somebody in your life needs a lot of help, but they're not getting that help, you call us, let us help you, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. So many people have started over because they called that number. All right, let's go to, how about Thomas from Savannah, Georgia. He listens on Sirius XM satellite radio. That's channel 131, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Hey, Thomas, how are you?
Hey, I am good. How are y'all?
Doing okay. How can we help you today?
My question revolves around my marriage and if I should continue in my marriage or if I should look at leaving my marriage. And it's a thought that's been in my mind for probably about 2 years now, and I've gone back and forth between continuing to try to save the marriage or if I should just take a separation and leave or, you know, call it over.
Why would you leave? What's going on that would cause you to leave?
Well, me and my wife have been married for 11 years, and when we first got married, the first 9 months or so were pretty good, and then my wife became pregnant with our son. And, you know, we had our son. And after, there were some problems before that, nothing that was extremely severe. But after we had our son, she changed her priority and her focus dramatically. And She got very cruel in a lot of things that she said, quit spending a lot of time with me, made her job and our son her top two priorities in life, and, you know, her church service. Every time the doors are open, she's at church, you know, involved in some type of a outreach or a ministry. And I brought this up to her over the years. We've gone to counseling before, you know, the Weekend to Remember style getaways. And I really...
Okay, hold on. We've got to go to a break. Hold on. We'll be right back after this. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
When I went to Israel, my whole view of the Bible absolutely changed. I had a reference point to visualize.
Yeah. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We love getting to be here. We love helping you. And here's a situation, another tragic situation, and so glad that Tom would trust us with this, that he would call us and let us help. Where, you know, you see this thing where sometimes a wife will get married to the kids, the man will get married to the career, and everything dies. But here's a man saying, I want this to be different. I don't know what to do. Sherry, let's start with you. What do you think?
Hey, Thomas, is this a first marriage for y'all, or have you been married before?
No, this is my first marriage.
Okay.
And I found out, I knew my wife was married once before. Okay. After we got married, I found out that this was actually her third, not her second marriage. And I actually contacted her two ex-husbands to ask them details about why their marriages went south. And it was almost a carbon copy story of my current situation.
So was your courtship fast, furious, intoxicating, or no? Was it long, and did you guys spend months and months do premarital counseling?
Yeah, it started out, you know, kind of quick, you know. I mean, you know, we didn't do anything sinful, but, you know, it started out kind of quick. But overall, we were engaged for about 18, 19 months. And then,
oh, interesting.
So let me ask you a question. How can you not know that, and you're not in trouble for this, it's curious, like, how can you not know that the woman you're marrying was married three times before? Like, do you all talk about stuff that's deep, or
we
or
did,
not?
We did, and we went through some pretty intensive premarriage counseling with, you know, our pastor and his wife at the time.
Did anybody ask? Like, because I just asked you, yeah, right? I just said, hey, is this your first marriage? And did anybody ask that question?
Yes. Well, I knew, you know, at that point in time, it was her second marriage. Well, I knew she had been married once before, and I knew that her husband had committed adultery, and that's why they were divorced.
So did she lie? Did she keep that from you or not?
Well, her first marriage, from what I understand, only went about 13 months. She was right out of high school.
No, I get it. I think what I'm trying to get to are more intimacy issues here. There's something deeper here.
Yes.
I'm not necessarily getting hung up in the facts, except that somebody being married three times, like if I was going to be married to somebody, I would want to know how many times they'd been married before. And so I'm a little, it makes me curious as to how deep you all really go it's in light of intimacy, because what's happened, you all have this baby, right? Within 24 months of being married, it takes 2 years to form a secure bond. And guess what? She's now bonded to the baby. She's bonded to her work, and she's bonded to church. Right. That's,
yeah. Well, I can explain some of that. You know, we knew each other for probably 15 years before we got married. You know, we knew the same people, the same groups of people at church and things like that. So I was aware that she had been married once before. And, you know,
but
of the details.
But Thomas, listen to us. You didn't know that, because that's not the truth. She wasn't married once before. She was married twice before. That's the point we're trying
to
make
times.
Here. Three, yeah. This is the third marriage, right?
Fourth.
Yes.
This is
her third marriage.
Right. So what we're trying to get you to see is that you're working with information that she was married once before, and that's not true. Like, this is not like, oh, she told me she likes Snickers as her favorite candy bar, and instead I found out she likes Kit Kat. This is a whole different category. And what Sherry is speaking to, and I want to turn it right back over to her, is that intimacy is about being known. And these are critical information, things that impact our lives to get to where we are today, that come out in the course of a relationship. So right from the very get-go, there is an intimacy block. There's a barrier here.
And I'm wondering if you, Thomas, tend to be more like a thinker, kind of cerebral, kind of looking at the timeline, 18 to 19 months, or kind of looking at the fact that you all had a bunch of friends that were in common. And in doing that, you might miss the deeper underpinnings of the heart. Like, there are these quick answers that tend to come rather than having to slow down and share in the deep waters of your disappointment, right? If you all can't talk about prior marriages, and you're not in trouble. I'm really trying to bring an awareness to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you all can't do that, how are you supposed to talk about how alienated you feel in your marriage, how alone you feel in your marriage, how jealous you feel of your son, and how much attention he gets. I mean, those are adult conversations that need to be had. How much you feel on the outside of even church.
Yeah.
Like, you feel like you're fourth rung down.
Yeah, we have, especially over the course of the last 2 years, had very, very in-depth conversations about a lot of the issues that we're facing. And mostly because I brought it up and, you know, I've poked and prodded to get to the bottom of things. And, you know, she,
Have you asked her to stop serving in the church? Have you said, this is what I need? I need more time with you. I need to have you give up ministry right now.
Well, we had a conversation that revolved around that, and throughout the course of our marriage, I've asked her to, you know, take a different position where she works or things like that, because she works an awful lot, and I have mentioned that I thought that she was too involved in church activities and not involved enough in the family before. But
I'm going to walk right in with you, my friend. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying, when you talk about it right now, you're explaining, you're giving details. Mm-hmm. What I'm asking from you is to be intimate, to go to her and say, I need this. I need you to stop doing ministry. I am hurting. Our marriage is at risk. And if you continue in your church work, you're going to lose me. Now, do you see the difference between telling her what she's doing and explaining that as being wrong, almost trying to correct her, instead of you coming to her, towards her, and bringing
what you're saying.
Yeah, good for you. Thanks for hanging in there in this conversation.
We had a conversation just a few days ago, and, you know, I reminded her that, you know, I was pretty vocal over the years about, you know, how our marriage had turned and, you know, feeling alone. And I even admitted to her that, you know, that every man faces temptations.
Yeah. And, all right. Now, listen, we're just about out of time here. Guys, what does he need to do? He needs to ask her to give up ministry. He needs to ask her to do something to bring them back together, to build that bond, which I think she broke with her dishonesty about how many times she had been married. Well, and he seems to be talking more intellectually about this than sharing the impact of the emotion, which must be absolutely horrific.
Well, this is a classic case. So, Tom, hear me out. Before you throw the towel on this marriage, you both have a phenomenal opportunity, but it's going to take a tremendous amount of work. Both of you struggle to know how to do intimacy, and most likely that comes from the families that you grew up in. But regardless, you know, getting a book, How We Love, and importantly, getting in a couples counseling to walk you through how you attach or connect to each other. I want to encourage you as much as possible to get one of these intimacy and workshop marriage weekends. It is transformative because the struggles that you guys have been going round and round and round again seem like a mystery, and they're not. But you've been looking at the wrong thing. This will help clarify the actual issue that's happening underneath the surface in your marriage. And I want to encourage that as much as possible.
Yeah. So we'll send you How We Love. And I hope that that's going to open some doors for you and provide some insight into this that I don't think you'd find it any other place. I really feel for you. I'm so sorry. And we need more men saying, hey, this bothers me versus this frees me up to do whatever I want to do.
But so often, Steve, the men, just like Tom, have never had anybody sit with them to show them the language and how you bring your heart, right? So that it's not a bunch of details, but it's really raw and real. And I think he needs some help. Yeah. With someone that can help him learn how to do that. Most men do. I feel bad. Men didn't grow up learning how to do this.
It's a foreign language.
I know.
And it's a plea, not a demand. It's a plea. We'll be back with more New Life Live. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help.
We both brought childhood wounds into our marriage of 50 years plus.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Dallas September 22nd to the 24th.
We had a low level of conflict resolution. We knew what it was, but we didn't always practice it.
Join Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about 7 different secrets from the Mediterranean. You do these, and they lead you to a life of passion and meaning and romance and deep, intimate connection.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We're going to be talking about the emotional, sexual, and relational journey that all couples go on over the course of a lifetime together.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
I leave here with new growth tools. I also leave here with new hope that our marriage will get better and better.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's go to one final caller. If you're on the line, please, we've got another program. I'll get to your phone call. Let's go to Kim, Boston, Massachusetts, Sirius XM. Kim, don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to get to your call before we had to go. How could we help you today?
Great. Thank you, all three of you, for all your ministry. Every call applies to what I'm working with here.
Thank you.
But I have I have two adult daughters. I'm calling about the younger one who's 32, and she recently has talked to me about some things in her, like 15 years ago, that made her very angry, and then another thing that made her very sad. And they're seriously sad and wrong things, but she brings them up like they happened yesterday, and she takes her anger out at me.
Okay.
And I want to be able to help her deal with those things, but I also I don't want her, when I call her, to start yelling at me. And when I visit her, I don't want her to start yelling at me. I want to draw boundaries with love.
Okay, so real quick, let me give you an answer to that. Hey, honey, I really hear that anger and frustration, and I know you want me to hear you. It seems like the more I call you and we talk, the more disruptive, disconnected we get. How about let's go let a third party facilitate you sharing what you want to share more deeply than maybe you're doing now, and me being able to receive it. So you take it out of the phone conversation, you put it in the hands of a trained counselor to facilitate that. That's an idea from me. You guys, another idea for her, what to do in this situation. Anybody?
I would say, Kim, when something is leaking out that's like it's happened in the past, but it's leaking out like it's fresh in the present, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
It's not in the past anymore. It's in the present, and it needs to be dealt with. I want to help you really work on trying not to wish that she would get over it, trying not to, and I know how it feels to have somebody be angry at me. I have people that are angry at me from time to time, and I got to tell you something. I want to run out of the room, shut the door, and barricade it with, like, all kinds of stuff so they can't touch me because it hurts, right? It's overwhelming.
But I want a relationship more than I want happy smiles.
Okay, good. So yes, you don't want to be... So this is what I would do. I can hear your anger, and I want to know how I've hurt you. Can you tell me how I've hurt you? I want to listen. I'm not going to correct you. I'm not going to say, but... I'm not going to shut you down, because basically you're hearing her perspective. You're hearing her story. Now, even if it didn't happen in the same way that you remember it, comfort comes when we are able to suspend our judgment, suspend trying to fix that person, stop trying to defend ourselves, right? And just listen to learn. Because I think she's got a cork that's being uncorked. I'm kind of proud of her that she has the ability to get it to you, right? That means she's fighting for you.
Yes, I told her, thanks for keeping this up because I don't want us to shut down.
Totally.
And I remember hearing you say to a caller a few months ago, don't defend yourself. Just let her...
Let her get some of the anger out. And if you get overwhelmed, just like Steve said, like there's third parties that can help. If you get overwhelmed, you can even say, honey, I am, or whatever her name is, I'm feeling a little overwhelmed in the anger right now. I want to hang in there in this conversation. Can you tell me about your hurt? You know, try to help her share her hurt with you. Anger is a protective measure, but you can't really hear her heart. I want to hear your heart, and I want to hear how I've hurt you.
Okay, so here's the reality. We're out of time. People wake up to feelings and emotions of things that happened years ago, and as a parent, for you to take that approach of, well, I can't do anything about that now, or that happened years ago, it just discounts their feelings. And what they need is a safe place to share with you what they're feeling now based on that. They've got new insights. They're waking up. You don't know what the source is. Now, for her, I'm going to send her a copy of, well, let's see, what would be great for, let's send Forgiving Our Parents by Dr. Dave Stoop, and I hope that would, or Forgiving Our Mothers and Fathers, I think that's Jill's book. Let's send that, and then there'll be some things in there that she can help her daughter facilitate for herself in forgiving and getting beyond it. Well, it really is important that we care about the feelings of other people, especially, like here, something that happened 20 years ago feels like it happened yesterday. We want to continue to provide that hope and help and healing, but we can't do it without your support. And to talk to us about that is Larry Sonnenberg. Larry, talk to us about
Steve.
Our need for support here this summer.
Yeah, I like your last comment especially because while we need the support, we can't emphasize enough why we need that support, and that is to continue helping people, for people to be able to listen to this broadcast, to call into this broadcast, to find a counselor, to find a resource, to come to a workshop. All these things that God's using through this ministry takes money to drive it, and that's why we come and ask you for support.
Well, and you said, Larry, right when you came into the room today, you looked at the board and it's full.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, if there wasn't a redemptive God that we, you know, has very engaged in our ministry, all this pain would be overwhelming.
Yeah.
And we are on the front line.
It'd be hopeless. Yeah.
It'd be hopeless. But we bring the hope, right?
I've said a few times in the past, when you give to New Life, you become an agent of hope. And hope will keep you going a long time.
Yep.
And beyond the hope, we get the helps, I mean, to initiate what that hope brings so you could have a different life.
Yeah. And so, we're a little behind here in July.
We are in July, so we need to catch up. We need Club New Life members.
Six a day is what we have to have.
And we actually, because we had such a poor early July, we need more than six a day to close it out. So if you could be one of those people to make a commitment to give $30 a month or more, receive the thank you gift, get access to the video library. It's going to make a difference in a lot of people's lives. And just call us at New Life at 800-NEW-LIFE. Go to newlife.com. We need your support. And I want to thank everybody who has been giving, too. I never want to forget that you've been giving, and thank you.
Yes, and you know, when you do give, we'll send you, like if you join Club New Life, $30 a month, we're going to send you the Arterburn Wellness Series, 8 books on understanding and loving the people around you, different problems that they might have, and then you get access to this amazing video library, and we have seen lives transformed just from some of these videos, and the only way you have access to it is to be a member of Club New Life. Now, a gift of any amount, I'll send you 12 of those videos to show you how powerful it is, hoping that you'll come along and become a part of Club New Life at $30 a month.
Steve,
I was going to say,
just doing the math about the 8 books, it's $120. Mm. I mean, that's, they give 30, right, but they get 120. So it's really... a resource.
It's a great deal.
It's a great deal.
It's a great deal.
And it's just our way of saying thank you, because we can't do it without you. And so often, you know, we look around and we say, well, yeah, things are rough in our world, in our society. Somebody ought to do that. Somebody ought to fix it. Mm-hmm. You could be part of the fix. Think about this. Think about the impact of a father staying home, raising his kids, rather than divorcing and moving away and leaving them behind. Generations are impacted. If you can help us, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Larry, Sherry, and Chris. God bless you, and thanks to all of you who support, listen, and
thanks
watch.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.